Hello, America, Mexico, and remote parts of Canada.
Omaha! 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 Omaha!
If the noise persists, the defense will be charged with a timeout.
They score! Yeah, baby! Yeah, baby!
A right by Watt, connected! Another right by Watt! Another right! Uppercut by Watt! A right by Watt! A right by Watt! An uppercut!
Saturdays have bite.
She's banging the quarterback.
Saturdays have sass.
No trouble.
Saturdays have the sports flood.
No duh.
It ain't a show. It's an experience.
Will my cable provider have it?
Now, open your ears, close your eyes, and take a deep breath. It's about to get real.
I don't know what that means.
It's Arky Shea.
I'm not going to be subject to your abuse anymore. Welcome into the Sports Flood, just a mere 21 minutes after the hour. Glad to have you guys aboard. It is a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Don't you mind what happened earlier. Shh. Don't worry your pretty little heads. We are okay. We are good to go. We are ready for some Sports Flood. I don't know who's listening in half an hour. Who comes up in at the half hour to pay attention to whatever chaos just happened here at the radio station? You know, to be perfectly frank with you, and, you know, I think it's fair. So, you know, what you hear on radio is scheduled every day. And the schedule is made up by folks up at the higher ups at the main offices in Huntsville. Then it's sent down to Athens where I take care of it and then get it scheduled for the next day. So whatever you hear on the radio, whether it's CBS Sports Radio, whether it's Cole Kublick, whether it is Tom Abraham, whether it is Matt and Scott, I get that on the air by making sure the proper buttons and things are sort of touched. The proper signals are fired. You know, the proper bumper sets are placed and the commercial breaks are set just so, and that they're the same length that they're supposed to be, so on and so forth. And when I left here yesterday, that's what I just thought I did. And then come inside the studio, all excited to do a show about Army-Navy, the Heisman Trophy. Spent a long time doing these logs because on the weekends, Friday, you have to do logs for Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. I was super excited. And then realize that the Sports Flood wasn't scheduled to air. Your friendly neighborhood CBS Sports Radio was scheduled to air. And then that's not good. And so that's what we spent the last 35 minutes trying to figure out, is why would it show me the right thing when I'm working on it and then show up as the wrong thing the next day? Because, well, we don't like it when that happens because that confuses people. People like me, simple-minded people. It confuses me when I do my job and then I show up the next morning and I apparently didn't do my job. So I wonder, well, what happened to the job I just did? That's what we were trying to figure the last half hour or so. So if you are listening still, congratulations, you are one of the hearty few, and I appreciate that super, super much, and we are going to have a pretty good program for today. No Alabama or Auburn talk today. Well, actually, maybe a little bit of Alabama, let's be honest. They got a guy that's about to win himself a Heisman Trophy, so that's kind of a big deal. No Auburn talk because there's really no need for it, but we do have Army-Navy discussions, not about the game itself, but mainly for me, the most interesting part is how does this series become competitive again? Especially since they seem to be the only service academy that is having these kind of struggles for the last 10, 15 years. What has happened to Army, and how do we get Army back on the right track? Also, the UFC has themselves a big old cluster match tonight. We will talk a few moments about that a little bit later today. And also, the Philadelphia 76ers suck. And I think it's time we start considering getting rid of the 76ers. Because they showed no interest in being a part of the National Basketball Association. What they're doing is in basketball, what they're doing is destroying the league. One loss at a time. But until then, you can get your discussion points in, your thoughts, your recipes, your phone numbers, your life lessons at 866-485-9867. 866-485-9867. That is how you can be a part of the program today and each and every Saturday that we do this here thing. Before we get to the meat of the story, the biggest story, I think, from overnight and the biggest story in all of football right now for me, let's introduce you to the man who is sitting here putting in filler while I sit here and talk to an engineer who is just as confused as I am. But he's also angry at me when I'm just trying to figure out. And God bless Chuck. He is a hardworking man. But I'm just not as smart as he is. And I think that annoys him. I think I come from this radio. Well, this is Mike Rose. Mike, good morning.
Good morning, Archie Shay.
God bless Chuck. I mean, Chuck... To be basically on call for me this morning, and Chuck's a great guy. Chuck helped me figure out my tire. I had a tire issue that had to get replaced this week. Chuck was there for me on that, so I know he cares. It's just Chuck knows I'm not as smart as he is, and I think when we talk about radio terminology and slang, because I didn't go to college for radio. I went to college for journalism and for drinking. I didn't go for radio per se. I just sort of fell into radio because it turned out to be a really cool thing. I never really studied audio and mechanics of that. So I think that sort of annoys him that I'm not on the same terminology wavelength. And I think that's, you know, we always talk about the biggest issue for most people is communication.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like I do a really good job of communicating.
You do.
It's just, I use different words than he does. And I think he thinks that it's not the same thing. And so this whole being in radio is a learning experience for me just to learn what people are calling things. Because, listen, I've called liners. Some people call them sweepers. I've called them stagers. You know,
there's so much terminology from all sorts of different people.
There's people at ZYP next door who call them the exact something that's completely different than what I call them. So I got to get used to that because that's who I'm working with. So I assume they know more radio than I do. They actually went to school for radio. I'm just...
Confused to say, it's very hard to be in radio with all other music station.
Radio's not as hard as it seems. Like, doing radio like this part is not that hard. I love this part. The part where I'm trying to make sure a station stays on the air and plays the right content, especially when I have to communicate with an engineer who is much smarter than me, is the difficult part. And I don't feel like I do a good enough job of saying, I'm sorry, I'm dumb. Just tell me what word I'm supposed to use here. I just want to make sure we're on the same page. So that's what this last half hour has been.
But you know what happened in the last hour that we could actually like have a first for with the sports flood?
They repeal Obamacare.
Oh, I would love that.
Usually don't do that on Saturdays, but I'm listening.
But breaking! Georgia has a new offensive coordinator.
Oh, yeah, Georgia does have a new offensive coordinator. That is on one of the discussion points to be made, too. We will talk about Georgia's brand new offensive coordinator. But the man I wanted to open up the show with was a different offensive coordinator. And that's in the big estate, not known as Alaska, that exists. And that is Texas. We'll talk about that in just a moment, but first let's go to the First Family Mortgage O-line and let's speak with B-Ram. B-Ram, we're basically free-for-all for this first segment. I got to get my bearings about me now to talk about Sterling Gilbert coming up in just a minute. What's up, B-Ran?
What's going on? I hope you get your bearings together there. Maybe, you know, Chuck can help you with them too. But what about Jeremy Pruitt coming back home?
I think it's a really, really cool story. I think too many people – listen, I think too many times we sit there and look at why we want to hate a reason, especially for the Alabama-Auburn rivalry, while somebody's here coming back and it's such a big deal. And, oh, wait, maybe Nick Saban didn't want him here. Look, coaching is a big, giant fraternity, and you can retread all you want. All these coaches get retread all the time. I thought Jeremy Pruitt was is a really good coach, and I know he's kind of a prickly personality, but you can get managed if you're a prickly personality.
Prickly personality. We got damn Lane Kiffin, for all, heaven's sake. I mean, you know, Jeremy Pruitt is nothing compared to Kiffin, and you see how Kiffin has reacted since he's gotten to Alabama. He's not the Lane Kiffin we've seen at Tennessee or USC. So I'm not worried about his personality. I just hope he performs, you know. The thing that I think is funny, and I wanted to talk with Mike about it yesterday, and it didn't work. Our wires got crossed up, and both of us was scrambling for time. But does nobody want to coach at Auburn?
I mean, really, kind of what it feels like.
I mean, when you got Tulane and Tulsa and you know, Tennessee Tech coaches saying, "Nah, I'm not coming there," you got a problem. I mean.
Well, the Tulane and Tulsa ones are the offensive coordinator at Texas. The Auburn defensive coordinator has been Florida State's Charles Kelly.
Right, Kelly from Florida State, which, yeah. I mean, you know.
Look, there's one thing to be said if you don't get your number one guy or your top two or three guys, because they'll go down the line all the time. I'm more concerned not about the one-year deal. I'm more concerned about these people may not want to coach with Malzahn because – Malzahn doesn't look like he's going to be a long timer there at Auburn right now.
Well, in which goes back to it, what did everybody call it? The Gus Bus.
That's right.
Everybody jumped on it. You know, all the, you know, memes come out, you know, that it's on fire when they started losing. And guess what? That door's open and everybody's getting off of it.
Mm.
I mean, I'm not taking anything away from Gus Malzahn. I mean, he's made it farther in coaching than any of us three or anybody listening. And, you know, he's made more money than any of us. So, but I don't think that he's the top-tier SEC coach.
No.
And, you know, I don't think he's surrounded himself with people to do it.
No, and B-Ran, I've been told stories from guys from I can't really say who, but from people who have been around that program
from the insiders
pretty closely, that Coach Malzahn, as secretive as he is with everybody on the outside, he doesn't want to know anything about kids' injuries and things like that, which you can kind of understand. He's not a communicator really with anybody within that program, and that includes his staff, and that's a huge deal.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it's – I don't want to say one big happy family because it's not always happy.
Nor family.
You're a team, and granted, there's stuff that the players don't need to know, but if us three are coaching a team, we all need to be on the same page, and we all need to have open communication among all three of us, or it's not going to work.
Yeah, B-Ran, and that's the thing. There is not that clear line of open communication right now, and that is a sticking point that, you know, B-Ran, that this is not coaching as well. A lot of things is not a business that has its blinders on. Everybody has rabbit ears. Everyone knows somebody, and they hear from somebody, and they talk to everybody. Talks to everybody. So don't think that a lot of these coordinators don't talk to their other friends about possibly taking that job. People who may have been of Auburn and heard these similar things and are very skeptical about taking that job. Now, if you get a couple year guaranteed and you get $950 or $1 million to coach there, yeah, that may be just enough for you to coach for a year.
Exactly. I mean, you know, you could take, you know, you probably could find somebody that, you know, that may be, you know, pulling I don't know, an idle time. They're waiting on a job to open somewhere that they really, really want to apply for, and they know that, you know, hey, I've got a couple years before this guy's, you know, going to be done. And you may get a guy in there that may sign that. You know, I don't know you're going to get, like you said, though, a long-term guy because, you know, usually when the head coach is fired, they wipe everybody, or when the new head coach comes in, he brings his people with him, you know.
You know, coaches always know that going into this is basically year to year, and, you know, if you're really good, someone will come and call for you, and it's never really a long-term commitment unless you just really love the place and they're paying you well, especially as a head coach. But these coaches can say they want, they know it's year to year, but they want that stability of 2 to 3 years of a contract minimum, and to be able to, you know, have their bearings about them, have their money, have their contract in hand, to be able to, if that does go south, go somewhere else. They just want the stability, even though it's just a contract and it doesn't necessarily mean you'll be there in 3 years. They still want that in writing to know that if everything goes well, I can at least try to be here for 3 years.
Or at least get paid. I mean, yeah. I don't care if I'm there for 1 year and you fire me and I'm going to get paid, you know, because I'm still going to be counting my dollars. You know what I mean?
I know.
But I do agree with you. The one thing I think that it hurts them huge on, and that's what I was trying to talk with Mike about yesterday, is Thursday night we met with Coach Sigler that was at UAB and Tennessee Tech. That's the reason I just threw them two names out there earlier. But and as far as the recruiting side, I think this really, really kills recruiting for Auburn. I mean, anybody that Muschamp's went and talked to, you know, it's kind of a gentleman's agreement that if you talk to somebody at one school and you leave and you go to another school, you don't recruit that kid, you know, if he's already signed, of course. And I just think that it is going to really, really hurt Auburn's recruiting class for the next couple of years with what's going on right now.
Yeah, it's gonna suffer some. It's gonna suffer right now because these kids don't know who they're committing to right now. They always say go to your strength and conditioning coach you'll spend the most time with, but outside of that, it's your position coach, and right. Then it's your, and, you know, especially defensively, it's who you're going to deal with on that side. And some of these guys want to just go to Auburn, but a lot of them want to go to a coach. They don't know who that guy is yet, so you have a lot of guys who say, you know, wait and see. I mean, we don't have to know till February anyway. You can't really know till February unless you sign early papers. Even then, you can change your mind. But for now, you know.
I mean, you want to be in contact and, you know, with somebody and talking with somebody. And, I mean, you know, that's a big business now is recruiting. I mean, it's as much as, you know, a football as coaching is, really. I mean, because if you can't get the players there, I don't give a damn how good a coach you are, you can't win ball games. So, I mean, that showed last night in the Jack State game. That, you know, I don't know, I don't want to bounce off shows, but on the morning show, I don't know how many other people took Troy Maine Pope, but that young gentleman is beast mode. You know,
he had a great, great, great game.
It was a good game. I mean, Jack State doesn't have a defense, but they got a heck of an offense. So, you know, that being said, I'll let some other guys jump on the line and,
sure,
you know, I just, wanted to get your thoughts on, you know, the Gus bus and, you know, Gus Champ, and now back to Gus with no co-riders on the bus. I mean, you know, who's going to be next on the bus? So, I hope the best for Auburn. I'm not a Bammer by any means. Both of y'all know that. I mean, I want to see Auburn do well. It's in the state of Alabama.
Technically.
That Auburn trolls now, that's a different story, you know, and I have to give them crap. But hopefully, you know, y'all can get your program together and get something headed in the right direction, because right now it is definitely not going in the right direction.
Well, we're looking to see what we can do. Right, you mean the sports fund, right? We're trying to get this. We got this thing back on board. B-Ram, appreciate
Chuck,
the call.
Chuck finally plugged the cord in over there. That's what he was telling you, cord.
Oh, that's cord what in. It got you. I wish I just gone straight. You should always go to the power source first and then start looking for other problems.
Yeah. If it's not plugged in, probably start there.
B-Ram, appreciate
the
call,
weekend,
man. 866-485-9867 if you'd like to get in. Kim Walker tweets in, which you can do so at Arky Shea, at The Sports Flood, at Rose Scholar. At Arky Shea, top coordinators want to be somewhere long term. Contractual stability, sure, but top flight OCDCs want to be head coaches. Now, that's true. That's true. But these guys want the contractual stability. That's what I mean. Guys, listen, you want to be somewhere. When I say it's long, want to be somewhere long term, I just mean contractually. Just your stability to be able to have a paycheck. And if it gets bought out or if they remove the staff, you're going to get paid money for that contract. 1 year deals suck.
Yeah. And also, if you're like, look at the situation with Lane Kiffin. Lane Kiffin right now, nobody wants to touch him. So he's still got that stability to be the OC at Alabama just as long as Saban wants to keep him. And he'll probably go back to becoming a head coach. He will. But right now, this ain't his year. And a lot of people thought this was going to be a year he was going to go get a head coaching job.
These big coordinators do want to be head coaches eventually. But right now, you want the stability of money and years on a contract.
Money is good.
Because all these contracts, you can be anywhere you want. Just look at Bud Foster, the defensive coordinator at Virginia Tech. I mean, he wanted that job at Virginia Tech badly. The reason he stayed, and he's interviewed for other jobs before and said, you know what, I'll just stay here, because he wanted that job. Justin Fuente did a great job of keeping him on board and saying, hey, can you just, you know, stay here at Virginia Tech? And Bud Foster, I think, is now entrenched there.
And you know,
and so it's an issue where he's still going to get good money. And, it, you know, how much different is he going to be if he wants to be a head coach and move somewhere to where he may only be there 3 years, probably maximum, unless you do well.
And there are some people that don't want the responsibility of being a head coach. They'd rather just be a offensive or defensive coordinator, say like a Monty Kiffin type. Never really a head coach, but always produced good defenses year in, year out, except for the last part of his career. But some people are just fit that way too. They just want to be coordinators and just run the offense or run just the defense. They don't want to take the full-on responsibility of the whole team along with every little detail that it takes to do it. The media time that you have to do, the coaches' shows, the press conferences. Some people are just wanting to be coordinators, not head coaches.
And I think that's the issue that Auburn is dealing with. One of the issues Auburn is dealing with right now is that you lose Will Muschamp, and that's a very highly publicized exit. And then you go for Charles Kelly, and that's a very highly publicized turndown from Florida State's defensive coordinator, who was a top 20 defense this year. I think it was like 21st, actually. So one of the best years they've had in a while defensively. So it's a high profile, high end candidate, especially when a lot of people thought Auburn was going to be able to get him, because most people think Auburn clearly better than Florida State, right? Or the SEC. Why wouldn't people want to come to the SEC? I don't think it's gone down where Auburn's looking at its 13th or 14th candidate quite yet. Although, when you listen to some of the rumblings coming from Auburn, there is some concern. There is some concern whether or not Gus Malzahn is going to be a guy, not only is going to be there for a couple of years to bring a guy in, especially a top-flight guy in, or a top-tier guy. I stop saying top-flight, because I'm still not sure 100% what that means. Top flight, does that mean the highest in the air when flight?
Top flight security. That means best of the best security, man. Top flight security of the world.
I'm going to go top tier because I'm not smart enough to know top flight. I know top tier. When you bring in a top tier guy, guys want money. Guys do want a little bit of stability. And guys want to know that their head coach will communicate with them on multiple levels. 866-485-9867. We'll come back. Texas has their offensive coordinator. It's the same guy it was 24 hours ago, except for it wasn't that guy 20 hours ago. It's a wild story. Sterling Gilbert to Texas. That's next. Sports Flood. Welcome Welcome back in. It is the Sports Flood on a beautiful Saturday here. Do want to bring up that Arkansas, former Arkansas offensive coordinator and had been current offensive coordinator of Pittsburgh, Jim Chaney, is going to go to Georgia to be under Kirby Smart's tenure. It's funny. Jim Chaney, in his last six games against Alabama, scored 10, 10, 6, 13, 0, and 13. So that's going to be good news for Georgia fans that you'll now be able to score 6, 10,
wait,
or 13 against Alabama.
Hold up.
Next time you guys meet.
Hold up. Tennessee was garbage under Derek Dooley, but Jim Chaney did do a good job as offensive coordinator, where he did set a few Tennessee records in 2012 as being the OC of the Volunteers. And he does
and,
well with
and
quarterbacks.
And Arkansas set their own records for rushing attack under Jim Chaney, too. It's just your measuring stick is Tuscaloosa. It isn't Vanderbilt. It isn't Kentucky. It isn't Mississippi State. 866-485-9867 if you would like to get in. Texas found their guy. His name's Sterling Gilbert. He is the former co-offensive coordinator at Tulsa.
Wait, co?
Yep, co-offensive coordinator.
He's not even a full offensive coordinator? He's
a
half?
The co-offensive coordinator at Tulsa. And it's a bit of an upgrade. Texas averaged 370 yards a game last year. That's good for 93rd in the country.
Woo!
Tulsa averaged 502 yards a game. It's good for 14th. So somewhere in the middle would be nice for them.
But Conference USA is not the Big 12.
Here is the rub I have with Sterling.
Sterling
Gilbert. The only Sterling I knew was Marlon, and I don't know why we're not talking about him anymore. Sterling Gilbert was offered the job by Charlie Strong. He apparently, according to reports, had agreed and then took his agreement back. And then the talks, official talks, broke down, and then the final offer, Gilbert rejected.
Burn.
So the president of Texas, Greg Fenves, the athletic director, Mike Perrin, and the head coach, Charlie Strong, all got on themselves an airplane, and headed to Tulsa, Oklahoma to actually meet in person with Sterling Gilbert.
Did you see the Tulsa reporters' pictures of the meeting on Twitter last night?
There was video footage outside of a Tulsa home. Sure, just a random home. Finally, he was convinced to do it.
And how much is he getting paid?
Here's the point. I don't care about his money.
Oh, he's getting paid money, though.
Oh, everybody's going to pay. No one's doing it for free at this level. But Sterling Gilbert was the co-offensive coordinator with Matt Maddox. Who's Matt Maddox? Doesn't matter at this point. But he was not, was Gilbert, he was not the lead play caller with Matt Maddox. So Texas just went and got a guy who didn't call the plays for an offense that went for 502 yards a game. Texas just got the guy who did not call plays for the 502-yard getting Tulsa Golden Hurricane. Were they still Hurricane?
Yes, Golden Hurricane.
Now, here's the good thing, though, if you're Texas fan.
Oh, please tell me what's good about
the
this.
The good thing is, Matt Maddox is apparently going to join Sterling Gilbert in Texas, so the play calls will eventually get called. But you got a guy who's not calling the plays, and you sent Charlie Strong, the president, and the AD on a plane, on a jet plane, to go find him and say, "We kind of can't have you say no to us. This is really going to be embarrassing.
We're leaving on a jet plane.
We may not completely want you, but you really, really, it really looks bad if you say no. So we at least need to have you on staff.
Yes, yes, please. We'll give you $900,000 to not call plays."
So Matt Maddox, the real offense coordinator, and Sterling Gilbert will find his way to Austin for the upcoming season. Boy, do they need it.
Would you ever name your kid Sterling?
No. But I will tell you this. Things are looking up for Texas. You laugh, but Texas had six players named all freshman all-conference.
Oh, really?
Six freshmen. That's pretty good. Now, they had nobody else named all-anything, but they had six freshmen. So there are some young bodies, but these young bodies have got to get good quick.
These young horns right here, these young steers, got to try and make them into big bulls. Go get them some heifers.
I'm not sure what's happening right now with this conversation.
You don't know Farm Talk?
I think we'll leave that for thefarmersonly.com. 866-485-9867. So coordinator news all over the place. Texas gets their guy. Kirby Smart gets his guy. And Jim Chaney. That is good news for him. Also, Sam Pittman, the offensive line coach at Arkansas, currently is going to go to Georgia as the offensive line coach. Pittman and Chaney were obviously on the same team just a couple of years ago. And Pittman does not have a non-compete clause, which I don't know if you guys saw the story, or I think it was earlier this week, that Brett Bielema was talking about how his team and his staff had non-competes imposed by Jeff Long that you couldn't compete in the SEC. So because Pittman was on the original staff that didn't have the non-competes, he gets to go anywhere he wants, including over to Athens, Georgia.
How nice for him. What a loophole.
It's pretty great for him. We're going to take a break. When we come back, top of the hour, we'll have a full hour this time. Derrick Henry wants the Heisman. The Sixers suck. Army, Navy, and UFC talk all coming up.
Hello, America, Mexico, and remote parts of Canada.
Omaha! 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 Omaha!
If the noise persists, the defense will be charged with a timeout.
Yeah! Yeah, baby! Yeah, baby!
All right, by Watt, get out! Another right by Watt! Another right! Uppercut by Watt! A right by Watt! A right by Watt! An uppercut!
Saturdays have bite.
She's banging the quarterback.
Saturdays have sass.
No trouble.
Saturdays have the sports flood.
No duh.
It ain't a show. It's an experience.
Will my cable provider have it?
Now, open your ears, close your eyes, and take a deep breath. It's about to get real.
I don't know what that means.
It's Frankie Shea.
I'm not going to be subject to your abuse anymore. Can hear the sports flood. You know, Texas was so bad offensively. 93rd last year in the country at 370 a game. You know what's even worse? The fact that I looked up these rankings, and of the 34 bottom performing offenses in all of college football, in the 34 worst, absolute worst offenses in FBS, 17 of them were Power 5 conference teams.
Oh, I already got one off the top of my head that I know is below Texas.
I'll let you take a guess in just a moment.
All right.
But 17 were Power 5 conference teams. That is an abomination that these schools, more of these schools, I can understand 3 or 4. 5, 6, maybe even 8, 10, maybe. Maybe you get the bottom maybe 2 of the power conferences. But to have 17 of the bottom 34 be Power 5 conferences. So if you'd like to take a moment to guess, Mr. Rose Schuyler, you can guess right now. I have the 17 of the 34. Now, I don't have them ranked, but they go basically in order as far as which one's better. And by the way, Texas is the best of these, is what I'm saying.
All right. How about I just like ring off until I'm wrong? How about that?
You can, but once you're wrong, you're done.
All right.
That's the thing.
We'll go with Boston College.
Boston College, the absolute worst Power 5 conference team offensively.
We'll go with Vanderbilt.
Vanderbilt, not nearly the worst, but are pretty bad.
I think that Northwestern is one of them.
Northwestern, just above Vandy.
We got to go with Rutgers.
Rutgers, you're done. Not on the list.
Oh, you got to be kidding me.
Not on the list. Your Power 5 conference teams, 17 of the 34 that are in the bottom of this. Huh, awful. Texas is the best, by the way, at 93rd. Purdue, Auburn, Virginia Tech, South Carolina, Minnesota, Penn State, Kansas State, Florida, Oregon State, Wake Forest, Northwestern, Kansas, Vanderbilt, Syracuse, Missouri, Boston College. 17 Power 5 conference teams in the bottom 34
and
offensively.
Didn't I
that
count,
is an embarrassment.
Didn't I count four of those 17 to be in the SEC?
Don't you?
Five.
You have Auburn. You have South Carolina. You have Florida. You have Vandy. You have Missouri. Tell me the SEC isn't down. tell me the SEC isn't down.
And actually,
you have five of the bottom 34 offenses, and there's only 14 teams in your league.
And correct me if I'm wrong, the Big Ten is number two with total. Let's see, what was it? Penn State, Minnesota, Northwestern, and who was the last one I heard out of that?
Big Ten, I got Northwestern, I got Penn State, I got Minnesota, I got Purdue.
Four out of the Big Ten, too. Oh, my God. That's nine out of the seven, over half.
The Big Ten is better than the SEC.
By one team.
And the SEC, well, you can also look at what were the final college football playoff rankings. Find me all the SEC teams in the top ten there. Not that many.
Well, would you call
not
it?
Not that many.
But also
one.
Goodness gracious. This is just embarrassing. I mean, absolute embarrassment.
It's bad for these Power 5 conferences. It's bad. It is way, way, way bad. And it's embarrassing. It's really an embarrassment to watch. You know, we talk, you know, there's a lot of talk in college football, especially the NFL, about what are these colleges doing? You know, what are these colleges doing? Aren't we teaching our guys anything? Like, aren't we teaching these guys how to be good football players? And then you watch college football and you're like, I don't think we are. I don't think we are. Because there's so much. And on the morning show, Cole Kubrick brought up a great point. You can listen to him 6 to 10 in the mornings. There's so much adjustment at the line of scrimmage. There's so much get up to the line, look at the sideline, and then finally do a play. There's so much non-reaction that's happening unless you're actually playing in the actual play itself.
And is it even worse nowadays?
It's bad.
To where
it's bad for you.
The quarterback can't do anything on his own anymore. He's got to check with the sideline each and every time. Especially when you go up to the NFL, you have to call audibles on your own. You can't look to the sideline and be like, oh, well, I got to figure out this, I got to figure out that. You are taught to be like, all right, here's your key. If this linebacker looks like he's blitzing, audible to the other side. If they're overloaded on one side, set the audible, flip it on the other side. If you look like you're getting maybe a six-man rush come in, call a hot route. Where is that nowadays in college football? Really, where is that? Because if you look at it, the main guy that quarterback-wise that you want next year is out of Memphis. There's something completely wrong with that. I mean, that's not dogging on Memphis, but that's dogging
really
on
Memphis. Really sounds like you're dogging on Memphis.
No.
Really sounds like you're dogging on Memphis.
Memphis is at 9 wins again for the second straight year because of...
Well, you just said with your inflection, the quarterback everybody would want is out of Memphis. That sounds like you're dogging on Memphis.
How am I dogging out of Memphis when they're the one that has the number one pick, probably the number one quarterback that's going to be taken next year?
Your tone is of... Why is the guy out of Memphis the guy you want? Shouldn't there be other power guys? And there is one out of Cal. But why isn't there more power guys? That was your tone. It's 100% your tone. And you could dog on Memphis. I don't care. I don't have a dog in the fight for Memphis. But, I don't care what you do with Memphis.
But it just shows, where's the quarterback development in these Power 5 conferences? Deshaun Watson is doing spectacular at Clemson, but he's going to be back next year. Is he even really a true pro prospect right now?
And more importantly for this show and this area is in the SEC because, and I wrote an article about this for Gridiron Now that didn't get published. Thanks, you guys. It was a really great article about why the SEC is down, and part of it is in a huge way quarterbacks. And you think about all the schools this year that had quarterback issues in the SEC. I mean, just off the top of your head, just for those, not you, Mike, for those listening, give them a chance to think.
I will.
Think of all the schools that have not had quarterback issues at all this year. At all. Just think of them. How many of the 14 teams do you think did not have quarterback issue at all this year?
Now, by quarterback issue, what are you defining that as?
Because... any type of discussion that there should be another quarterback play.
All right.
Florida?
Mm-hmm.
Georgia?
Well, Florida was more of the juice.
Quarterback issue. They didn't have a number one guy set going into the season. Will Greer and Treyon Harris were split.
No,
time.
But then they had the guy, and then the guy got popped.
Quarterback issue. Georgia?
Yeah.
Vanderbilt?
Of course.
Kentucky?
Yeah.
Missouri?
Yeesh.
South Carolina.
Oy.
The only team in that division is Tennessee. They didn't have one quarterback issue the entire season. How about if we go to the West? Auburn. Texas A&M.
Oh, boy.
And then you get to some teams that had slight but not as much. Alabama.
That slight was the reason for that one loss.
Jake Coker is the only guy that won every game for him, although he didn't start the Ole Miss game, and there was a lot of people clamoring for Cornwell to be in. Ole Miss seemed pretty steady with Chad Kelly.
I didn't see any issue about him being benched.
LSU, their issue was that he sucked. Brandon Harris, especially the last five games of the year.
Or was it the play calling to try and hide Harris's deficiencies? Really, that could have been more of the issue.
Well, he got his losses.
He did get his losses.
Starting in November. And then really struggled. Texas A&M?
We've already discussed.
Mississippi State?
Solid.
So, out of the entire SEC, you're looking at Tennessee, Mississippi State. Oh, I did mention Arkansas.
Yeah, Arkansas had solid.
And Ole Miss. The only teams that were steady... had their guy, never wavered, and he performed well.
And here's the issue with that. Two out of those four are gone after this year.
The SEC quarterback play has been really bad. And it's not been a quarterback league for a couple of years. Florida will be in big troubles next year.
Unless they can get one Jacob Eason.
Well, he's probably not going to start as a true freshman,
and also,
especially for half the year.
Actually, I wanted to bring this up to you because I brought this up on Tom's show yesterday. Kyle Allen will be getting a year off. But with Trevor Knight and Patrick Toles leaving their respective schools and eligible to play immediately, do you think they have a shot to go to, Toles was at Kentucky, but like say going to Florida or going to Georgia, maybe even LSU. Do you think Auburn could possibly be
no
in the mix?
No.
All right.
No Auburn. Maybe LSU. Maybe. But if you go, if you try to consider yourself going to a Florida, you know that halfway through the year, they're going to have a guy coming back that they want to have the job, and they're going to give every opportunity to win it back.
Or how about this?
Do you want to go for only a half-year guarantee?
Even what about Mississippi State with Dak Prescott leaving and the question at quarterback coming into next year? Dan Mullen does a good job with quarterbacks.
If you go to Mississippi State message boards and you read some of the things they write, they are pretty excited about the two guys that are behind Dak Prescott right now. Now, they're not coaches that are on the message boards, I assume, but they seem pretty happy with what's behind Dak Prescott. So I would not think that Patrick Toles is a guy that would even work at Mississippi State. I'm not sure Patrick Toles is a guy that would work at all. As in, like, he's kind of lazy.
Well, you talk about people, the message boards, really liking the quarterbacks behind Dak Prescott, and I point out the beginning of this season, the preseason, the media days, the hype on one Jeremy Johnson.
Okay. No one's ever going to let me do this their show.
I'll let you do this.
So I'm going to do it on my show. Who is the only guy telling you to slow down on Jeremy Johnson before the season? Who is the only guy that said, I don't know, we haven't seen, why are we just assuming this guy's so great? Why are we assuming this is going to be so good? Who was the only guy that said, hold on, let's wait a minute. Let's wait a minute on Jeremy Johnson. Mike, who was that guy?
I believe it was the man I'm looking at.
It was me! It was me! Jeremy Johnson turned out to be the turd in the punch bowl of more turds because that team was bad.
You know what? You and Cole nailed you and Cole predicted the Auburn season pretty well. As Cole's saying, there was the highest of highs, the ceiling is the highest, and the floor is the lowest.
To be fair, he also picked Auburn to win the West.
You picked Auburn to win the West.
He picked Missouri to win the East.
That was a wonderful prediction.
I picked Auburn to go to the college football playoff. That's how great I was. But I was the only one telling you that we should slow down on Jeremy Johnson for just a minute. Just a minute.
Simadonna?
Because everybody got all excited about one half against Arkansas. They thought, well, look what he did. Yeah, well, it was 21-21 at the half, and he didn't have to win a game. He had never had to win a game in college.
Winning a game is kind of important.
866-485-9867. Todd Burt, at Burt underscore Todd, tweets, by the same standard, how about the top 34 defenses? We'll talk about the top 34 defenses in the NCAA of all time, or at least this year.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about where that proves some of these conferences are at next. Sports Flood. Welcome back. This is the super groovy Sports Flood Hour happening right now. Hey, guys. 866-485-9867 if you would like to get in on the program. We are going to take a moment to go to that First Family Mortgage O-line. But after that, I will tell you very, very much what Todd Burt tweeted. By the same standard, how about the top 34 defenses? That math, that theory, right in front of my face. I'm going to take care of that in just a moment. But first, we shall go to the First Family Mortgage O-line and speak with Tennessee Jeff. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning. Enjoy listening to you guys on Saturday. I seldom have a chance to call, but in the office this morning trying to catch up on some stuff and
heard you guys
talk about preseason predictions, and of course the Volunteers were very highly regarded. And one thing about the Volunteers this year, except maybe the North Texas game, I believe this group gave as great a team effort all year as any team I can remember in a while. I've been really critical, especially of the defensive coaching staff and the way they grew and the plan they put together for Alabama. Basically, they were one play away. They sacked Jake Coker on first down that last drive. They probably get that momentous win, but anyway, finishing 8-4. And I believe I read somewhere Tennessee is the only FBS school in the country to even play three champions. They played the Big 12 champion, Oklahoma. They played, of course, Alabama, the SEC champion. And Bowling Green won their league championship by like 20 points. And the Vols beat them by 29. And everybody talked about, oh, how bad Tennessee's defense was. That Bowling Green quarterback could spin it. He might have been the best passer we've Tennessee faced all year. But I had hoped so much. I thought Tennessee had a great chance being matched up with Michigan, and I think that would have been a lot more compelling contest. Northwestern will be a big challenge for the Volunteers.
But, Jeff, you could just say it like it is. Northwestern is Purple Vandy. That's what Northwestern is right now.
One of the worst offenses in the country.
They're a lot better than Vandy. I'm hoping none of the coaches and none of the players think that.
No, they won't be thinking that. But us as fans, we could just call them Purple Vandy because their offense is below 110 or below 100, but their defense is top 30. So
11th.
They are somewhat like Vanderbilt.
Well, yeah, you know, there's a comparison there, and they're a great academic school too. There's no question about that. I'm hoping the Volunteers get healthier and healthier and have a great bowl season, and when things roll around to preseason media days next year, I don't think there's anybody in this league going to be looking forward, chomping their cud, getting ready to go play the Volunteers, because they will be in the championship run next year, and I firmly believe that.
You heard it here first, Jeff. Appreciate the call, man. All right. 866-485-9867. Do we have to hear him hang up the phone, too? I know we were expecting him to be like, thanks, man. Later, Jeff. Appreciate the phone call. 866-485-9867 if you would like to get in. So it was brought up by a friend of the program, tweeter, Bert_Todd, Todd Burt. And he's heard me railing about the 17 of the 34 bottom offenses in the country were Power 5 teams.
See.
So he then wants me to look at by the same standard. He tweets, how about the top 34 defenses?
Ooh.
Well, I have done that math of the top 34 defenses. 23 of the top 34 are Power 5 conference teams. Would you as a fan like to take a guess at who the number one offense, according to yardage, I don't know what other metrics you're looking at. I'm looking at just pure yardage. The number one offense, number one defense in the country is? It's a Power 5 school. It's Boston College. One of the worst offenses in the country is the best defense in the country.
Yes.
Alabama is 2, Wisconsin is 3, Michigan is 4.
All right.
Then you got Florida at 6 as a great defense.
Who has a terrible offense?
Thank you. You have Missouri 9th in defense.
Terrible offense.
Northwestern at 11 in defense.
Horrible offense.
Penn State at 14 in defense.
Woo!
Then you will look for at Vanderbilt, one of the top defenses. I don't think that proves much defensively. To be able to give yourself a chance, if you have a bad offense, you need to have a good defense.
Exactly. And, you know, I'm going to bring up Tennessee Jeff's point. I would have rather had Tennessee play Michigan. One, I hate the Michigan fan base, to be honest with you. I like guys like Wolverine Dan, but I completely hate Michigan. That's one of those. I mean,
this Michigan, the one that Cole played?
Yeah, that Michigan. Like, I hate them worse than Alabama. Just most of their fans are like uppity-up, smug type, thinking, oh, wow, we're the leaders of the West. I would, you know, if Bama plays Michigan, I hope Bama destroys Michigan by 45 points each and every time.
Wow. A lot of anger there. 866-485-9867. The First Family Mortgage O-line is open. We are going to go there now. We are going to wait for Mike to get off with the person who is currently on. This is a great radio. It's going there. Let's go now to Mark, who is on the line. Mark, good morning. Welcome into the Sports Flood.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up, man?
Appreciate the Saturday show.
Thanks.
Let me get off the Bluetooth. Wanted to ask your opinion about the Heisman show tonight.
Yes.
Me and a lot of my Bama friends can get into conspiracy mode pretty quickly.
All right.
And, you know, this is the fifth player that Saban will be taking to New York in eight seasons, which is pretty remarkable.
Pretty crazy.
But our concern is maybe there's some Bama fatigue, SEC fatigue, and that, you know, what is the possibility that all the other awards that were given to Henry on Thursday night is to maybe kind of offset a possible Heisman upset tonight?
Mark, appreciate the call. Got a little hum on the line, so we're going to let you go. Thanks for tuning in. That percentage is 0.000. And I understand Alabama fatigue when it gets to if there's a judgment call based on, you could say the Heisman's a judgment call, but the Heisman's actually based on statistics. And Derrick Henry, in all the statistics, is breaking SEC records. He's 14 shy of 2,000 yards rushing.
Mm-hmm.
He is up there, I think, number one in rushing touchdowns. I think he's at 23 on the season.
Right around there, yeah.
I think in all of his big games, all of his games that people would care to watch about, all against ranked SEC teams, going to LSU and in Florida, even the SEC Championship, Mississippi State, Auburn, the big high-profile game, not a ranked team, I understand.
No, but Iron Bowl is Iron Bowl, and that is always a national showcase.
Derrick Henry has been nothing if not spectacular. And I don't think that there's any way you can logically say, A, Deshaun Watson out of the mix.
Yeah, it's between Henry and McCaffrey.
Christian McCaffrey has had a great run, but I tell you time and time again, what I think hurts him is it's not that he's white, like some people put on ESPN this week. I saw that headline.
Oh,
that
my God. That was the most ridiculous comment I've ever heard in my life.
I think the two things that hurt him most are, one, the fact that he's a West Coast guy, and most of his high-profile games happen later for most people. Again, listen, these Heisman voters, there's 1,000 of them out there.
And some even put in their votes before the championship games.
Yeah, and even if you get before the championship games, you still get a great Derrick Henry resume as opposed to a Christian McCaffrey really good resume.
Very true. And also, McCaffrey's like real big national profile game was the Pac-12 championship game where he did get over 400 yards and made a good final push to it. I just feel like this is going to be one of the closest votes in Heisman history, honestly.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be that close. I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I just don't think it's going to be that close. And also what hurts him is that Christian McCaffrey's a sophomore.
That too, yeah.
He's going to have, some people may see, not that I agree with it, a couple of more years if he wants to try to prove and earn it. Derrick Henry's still a junior. He could come back next year. For all this Derrick Henry greatness, we forget he's a junior. He could, if he wanted to, come back for one more year. He'd be dumb to, but he could.
There is only one issue with Derrick Henry, and that is
he's black.
New. That is the hands of stone that he has. He's not exactly good out of the backfield catching the football.
No, but it's not like that's a huge part of his game anyway, and that's not the numbers we're looking at. We're looking at just shy of 2,000 yards, 23 touchdowns. And against, if you look at what the SEC says, Alabama's the best defense in the SEC, followed by Florida, followed by Georgia, followed by Missouri. You can see that there's a case made for the SEC, Vanderbilt's in there, LSU, although Alabama only played a couple of them. Point is, SEC fatigue can be out there, but Alabama as a name, or I should say Alabama fatigue, but Alabama as a name, is out there too. Mark Ingram, I'll tell you this. Mark Ingram, much less worthy of a Heisman than what Derrick Henry is this year.
That is
much less worthy of a Heisman.
That is much agreeable.
So if Derrick Henry loses this Heisman, that is where you start screaming toward the rafters. 866-485-9867 to the First Family Mortgage O-line we go. Tennessee Hunter, good morning.
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call and enjoy the show.
Thanks, man.
Just a quick note about Tennessee. I don't know if you discussed this. I haven't been able to listen all morning. But last time Tennessee played Northwestern was in the 97 Citrus Bowl, the year before they won the national championship.
Oh, now we just went conspiracy theory a minute ago.
But, yeah.
Are we ready to predict this?
Predict?
We ready to predict Josh Dobbs to take the championship next year?
Prediction?
Just saying. Are we ready to say this? Because that'd be kind of fun. That'd be awesome.
The Tennessee fan right here isn't ready to predict that yet. I need to see Josh Dobbs and crew improve in that passing game big time. Because those receivers, Preston Williams and company. Hunter went bye-bye.
Oh, that's too bad. I was wondering if he was going to see if he'd get his prediction because he did bring it up. That was, you know, that was the last Peyton game. Could that be going forward? T. Martin comes in. Maybe Josh Dobbs takes the seat for somebody else because Josh Dobbs becomes an astronaut.
Dorbany's a very good quarterback. I like Dorbany, but Dobbs, Kamara, and Hurd all return back next year. Chance Hall, Jack Jones, offensive line is going to be looking a lot better. The defensive line is going to be a monster.
Do you know what my favorite thing about Dormady is?
What?
I think it wasn't that long ago that we rushed the beaches of him. 866-485-9867. Stupid jokes continue next year on the Sports Flood. Also, a UFC fight. That's happening tonight. Ronda Rousey not fighting. Somebody else is. Mike will tell me who. Next, Sports Flood. Sports Flood, happy Saturday. Don't think that today is going to suck. It's never going to suck on a Saturday. I know it's not a full college football slate, but you do have the Army-Navy game coming up this afternoon. So you do get one more dose of Gary and Vern. Before we get to bowl season, then,
course, Gary and Vern,
you get the Heisman Trophy ceremony. Quick thought on that first, but I want to go to my tweet of the day. Comes from Kenyon Drake at KDX17, 4 hours ago. Woke up turnt because I graduate college at 9 a.m. Congratulations to all those graduating. Congratulations, Kenyon Drake, who has certainly gone through his share of adversity these last couple years.
A lot of breaks.
As well. Wow. A lot of breaks. That's classy. That's classy of you right there.
Excuse me.
You have now been suspended without pay. I'm underlining that right now when I go to corporate.
Oh, lovely. Thank you, Arky.
The Heisman Trophy ceremony I want to talk about coming up in the next segment. I want to talk about how the Heisman missed out on a huge opportunity, and I think it's a big one. It's one of the biggest ones they've ever missed out on. But first, UFC time. Now, before we get to the real story, Ronda Rousey kept good on a promise where she was going to attend a Marine Corps ball. She promised this way back in, a few months ago.
Yeah, it was a few months ago.
In August. And she had her fight moved up with Holly Holm to November 14th. So that's freed up the date yesterday for the Lance Corporal Jared Hashert at the Marine Corps ball to have Ronda Rousey show up, and she did. Her source close to Rousey said, quote, after the fight, she never hesitated for a second whether or not she was going to attend. She made a promise to a Marine, and she was going to keep that promise. It was as simple as that. That's Ronda. She said, quote, honestly, I probably would stay on my couch crying and eating ice cream for another month if he didn't ask me, she told TMZ. So very cool story from Ronda Rousey honoring her promise. Any of you hot guys out there apparently want to do a viral video asking me to a Marine Corps ball? I'm just saying, nothing's happened yet. I prefer ladies, but listen, I want to be charitable.
What?
There's a UFC fight tonight, right?
What's happening, RKJ?
There a UFC fight tonight?
No, there's a UFC pay-per-view, UFC 194. This is going to be a solid, solid card. I mean, gosh. You got Damian Maia against Gunnar Nelson.
Sure you do.
In one of the early matches. You got five total matches, but the top three.
Are they called matches or fights? What do they call it in UFC?
Both.
Bouts?
Bouts. Bouts would be right.
Okay.
All right. But you got Ronaldo Souza versus Yoel Romero for the number one contendership for the middleweight championship.
How much is it going to cost me to buy this?
It's $59.99. Which actually is not bad. If you had to get a group of 10 to 12 people chip in $5, out, it's doable.
You still got to sell me on my $5. Right. I think I have 10 to 12 friends. No way.
You got a lot of followers. That's what you got, ArchieShane.
One wants to spend time with
you. You could head to places like B-Dubs, who's a sponsor of this.
Are they showing the fight?
Yeah, they're showing the fight. So you can go enjoy
some. Sell me on making this because I'm supposed to be hanging out with some family later. Do I need to be watching this?
All right. Ronaldo Souza, 22-3. Yoel Romero, 10-1, undefeated in UFC, fighting for the number one contendership for the middleweight title. The middleweight championship is the co-main event tonight with Chris Weidman and Luke Rockhold. Weidman, 13-0. His last three victories have been Anderson Silva, Vitor Belfort, Lyoto Machida. Dude is just crazy on the ground wrestling. Just insane. But Luke Rockhold, 14-2, major jiu-jitsu guy. Big time Brazilian jiu-jitsu guy. Has won his last three fights via submission. And his last fight against Lyoto Machida was a round two submission. Luke Rockhold could have Weidman's number on this one because Weidman is not as good with the jiu-jitsu as Rockhold is. So you could see a submission, maybe third round, fourth round. This one could probably hit the championship rounds. Then you got Jose Aldo, Conor McGregor for the featherweight title. 145.
That's the main event?
That is the main event. And I bet you've heard of the notorious Conor McGregor.
You're making him sound Irish? Is he Irish?
He is Irish.
All right.
Irish, he's been in the Ultimate Fighter with Uriah Faber, being guest coaches. This last Ultimate Fighter, Jose Aldo, helped Uriah Faber coach, and they had a nice little stare down. Conor McGregor looked like a scared little punk, let's put it that way. But Conor McGregor, since 2013, none of his fights have gone to a decision.
None.
So he has not even hit past the third round. But yet, Aldo, in the last 2 years, every fight has gone to a decision. McGregor's got great knockout power. Aldo's very good on the ground. But Jose Aldo, you want to know the last time he lost a fight?
72.
November 2005, when he wasn't even in the UFC.
Was it like a schoolyard fight?
No, it was a World Extreme cage fighting fight, I believe. Or no, Strikeforce. Strikeforce, that's what it was. But Conor McGregor, big mouth. A lot of people either love him or hate him. Jose Aldo doesn't speak a lick of English, so he can't really say much fighting back. But this one, I see Aldo via submission round four. It's going to be a great, great card.
You say Aldo's going to beat the guy who hasn't lost since 2005?
No. Aldo's the one that hadn't lost since 2005.
Right.
But Conor McGregor has not lost since 2000. Or, let's see, I believe it's 2011 that his last loss has happened. But he has not gone to a decision and not even gone to the championship rounds.
Why is this guy so good? The guy that hasn't, Aldo. Why hasn't anyone been able to beat him
Aldo,
in 10 years?
Aldo is solid in his boxing and stand-up, but his ground game is just lethal. And that is one.
Is he Ronda Rousey with the ability to punch and fight?
Yeah, he is Ronda Rousey, basically. Like, his jiu-jitsu style is great. He doesn't have the signature hold like the arm bar, but he can twist your ankle up good and give you a knee hook. Man, I'm so stoked for this fight tonight. And I hope to God that Conor McGregor gets his arse kicked tonight. And gets humbled in front of.
So you don't like McGregor?
McGregor, I understand his shtick, but if he can't back up the fight with Jose Aldo, then I just feel like his shtick is just one of those that's, it gets old quickly unless you prove it. Like Chael Sonnen. Chael Sonnen is one of those.
Shtick gets old.
The shtick gets old, and especially with Anderson Silva, because he went to the last 2 minutes of the fight with Anderson Silva in the fifth round, winning that fight, and then gets caught in a triangle. Then you get all the hype, all the talk for Silva, Sonnen 2. Sonnen gets beat second round KO, is like, okay, yeah, whatever. And then you find out Sonnen gets popped for PEDs after the fight.
Who's the star?
Who's the star?
Who's the star in UFC right now?
That would be Conor McGregor.
So he is the star.
He is the star.
There's a guy that's undefeated. He just doesn't speak English.
Well, Aldo is 20-1. He's undefeated in the last 10 years.
Oh, so there's something that's before
World Extreme Cage Fighting. There was Strike
that
Force.
That counts in his career?
Yes, because it was a professional fight that he got paid for.
Okay. That's tonight, $60. Get you undefeated in 10 years versus undefeated in 4 years.
Yeah.
All right.
Sold?
I'm getting closer. I'm getting warmer.
And well, I mean, it's a good job to have a part. And also 5 fights. You get 5 fights on like the boxing card where you pay $100 for maybe 3 tops. You get 5. Dana White will put all sorts of time in there. And if you don't want to, then the prelims. Uriah Faber is in the main event for the prelims on Fox Sports 1 against Frankie Saenz. So
that's actually on my cable.
Yeah, that's on your cable. But Uriah Faber, California kid, always a fun watch to fight, even though the last few fights have not been best for Mr. Faber. But that is what it is.
866-485-9867, UFC 194, happening tonight on the pay-per-view. We're going to take a break. When we come back, going to wrap up the show, the Heisman, Army-Navy, and the Heisman Trust big mistake. I'm not talking 2009. There's a bigger mistake, and it's happening tonight. Sports Flood. Back here on the Sports Flood, wrapping it up. Keeping it tight. It is Army-Navy weekend. Army and Navy will battle each other in Philadelphia. That's 2 o'clock on CBS. You can check out that coverage. I suggest tuning in a half hour or so before. All the pregame festivities, all the pageantry of that game is awesome. It is very cool to see. Although this series has not been, in the last 13 years, very good at all.
Yeesh.
It's not even been competitive.
Huh.
And that's disappointing.
Mm-hmm.
And Navy has won 13 in a row, and the margins haven't even been that close. 58-12 in 02, 34-6, 42-13, 42-23, 26-14, 38-3. 34-0, 17-3, 31-17, 27-21, 17-13, 34-7, 17-10. So we're at Philadelphia this year for hopefully what could be the end of Navy's run. But what is to say that that run should end? And why is Army so bad at this football thing?
The football don't work well in the West Point right now.
It doesn't work well to West Point, but the strange thing is that it's not just service academies, because in the last 13 years since Army has beaten Navy, the other service academies, Air Force and Navy, have each had multiple winning seasons.
Yes, Navy especially.
I think each had 7 or 8, maybe more, winning seasons.
Don't forget, Navy's at a 10-win season right now. If they win today.
If they win today, they will be their 10th win. So what is different about Army? And that's one thing I can't figure out, because I talked to a couple of people this week just trying to figure out what could happen. And they don't have a real answer for me, except for coaching.
That's what it is. Because if you look at it, Air Force, Troy Calhoun's been there how many years now? 8, 9 at least.
Oh, Troy Calhoun at Air Force?
Yeah.
Oh, and I think it may be more than that.
Then you have Paul Johnson at Navy, and when he goes to Georgia Tech, followed up by his protege, Ken Niematalolo. I hope I didn't butcher that.
No, it's Niematalolo. You're right.
But I want to get, while you're looking that up.
He's been there since 07.
All right. I wanted to ask you this. What do you think about the helmets for both teams today?
Well, I haven't seen the Army helmets. The Navy helmets are cool. Position groups will have different ships painted on them. So that's kind of cool.
Army's doing the same thing.
They have different ships?
Not ships, but different like symbols of your platoons and...
Look, that's what makes this great, the pageantry of it. I get it. I'm just concerned about Army and why Army can't seem to get things right. Because what bothers me is that it's a team that, look, you're not going to get the same type of athlete. You have to have someone who is interested in a military lifestyle, which means there's not going to be an NFL for you right afterwards, and maybe not ever. You know, there's going to be, you work, you play football here, we're then going to send you off to your assignment. That's the reason it is. Now, Navy and Air Force are able to do it fairly well. I can't figure out why Army won't. The last winning season for Army is 2010, when they were 7-6. The last winning season before that, 1996.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Wasn't 1996 the 11-1 season where they went to the Liberty Bowl?
10-2. 10-2, and they went to the Independence Bowl. They took on the Auburn Tigers.
I remember it was Auburn. I thought it was Liberty Bowl. I apologize.
So, it has been a long time since Army has been really good. 7-6. Here are the records this year so far. 2-9, 4-8, 3-9, 2-10, 3-9, 7-6, 5-7, 3-9, 3-9, 3-9, 4-7, 2-9. 013, 111, 3-8, 110, 3-8, 3-8, 4-7. It's been bad. I do want to mention, though, I do think Derrick Henry wins the Heisman, but I think that the Heisman Trophy is missing out on a huge deal with Keenan Reynolds. And I know it's not a career achievement award. It doesn't have to be. But for what this country is going through right now, for all of the issues we are having, and I do not mean infighting, I mean militaristic type issues, to have someone who is so good at his job, at his position, Keenan Reynolds, to not get invited. Just get invited. It's not that expensive to send someone to New York. To where you would have had game ends, Keenan Reynolds skips post-game interview, gets on helicopter, flies into New York, takes a car waiting for him to the Heisman ceremony. Hopefully, while the ceremony was going on, he walks in his navy blues. That would have been a really great story, great compelling TV if you're interested in just selling that. And if you're really trying to sell the spirit of this country, if you're trying to sell the excitement that this is a spectacle in the Heisman Trophy, when someone, because we may never get a Keenan Reynolds type again in the service academy.
Maybe,
to be able to sell that and have that be part of your whole, we're looking for the best, most upstanding player and the most outstanding player and looking for citizenship and all that. For that guy not to at least get invited, I'm not saying give him the award. I'm saying invite him is a travesty. It's a real shame. And you don't have to just name 3 players to the Heisman Trophy finalist. You can invite 20 if you'd like. You go to wherever Keenan Reynolds was going to be marked, even if it was number 14, you invite all 14 people. You have yourself a great show. You have yourself a great player, and you have yourself a great story. And what is this really costing? Is this costing you a game? Is this costing you any eligibility issues? Is this costing you really any? No. It's costing you nothing. It's giving you nothing but excitement, because I can then forever say, I saw the ceremony where we actually did what was right by a college football player who's going on to serve for this country basically the hour after he leaves. That's going to do it for us. More Sports Flood next week. Don't forget, you can listen to the Sports Flood and any other show on the podcast, 730UMP.com. Click podcast. Peace.